Well, hey, I wanted to dig in here. Let's go right into the scripture. Luke chapter 5. If you got your Bibles, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 5. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. If you're following along with us on the app, we got the scriptures for you right there. If not, we got them for you on the screen. We got you covered here this morning as we dig into God's Word. Luke chapter 5 and verse 18 says this: "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house," where Jesus was, "to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd." I love this story so much. Right in front of Jesus. Verse 20, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.'" And the next few verses, there's a little debate about what Jesus just said. The Pharisees are having an issue accepting Jesus for who he says he is. And let alone you see a man say, "Your sins are forgiven." Then a debate kind of breaks out on that, and Jesus kind of responds. If you skip on down to verse 24, it says this: Jesus gets back to his conversation with the paralyzed man, and he says, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. How many just love God's word? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, for what we just heard. I pray, God, that what we hear, we would live. God, what I would speak would be your word. I just want to be an echo of what you've already said. God, I thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What we have here is isn't that fancy? Amen. We want to be current and relevant today with a television. Amen. Now, I saw this in the NPR, and I want to be a little bit more interactive. And what we have here is a man in this story on a mat who gets a miracle. A man who laid on a mat his whole life. And now he's on his feet. What we have in this scripture is a man with a need in his life, and we see that need being met. We see a man with a desire in his heart to be healed, and we see him healed. My question is, as amazing as that is, I like to dig into the details of things. And my question is, what was it that got the man on the mat to his miracle? What was it that got the desire for healing to become healing? What was the mechanism? What was the vehicle that got him from the mat to his feet? If you study this verse and really just kind of look at it from a prayerful overview, the bridge that got him there were three things. And you see that right here. Faith, support, and a plan. The mechanisms that you see in verses 18 through 25 are found and can be summarized into those three things. Faith, he believed. Support, he had a team. And a plan. He took what I like to call the roof route to get to Jesus. That required strategy. Faith, support, and a plan. It's that time of year again. January 1. New Year's Day. A time when goals start coming out. A time when our desires go out on display. A time where resolutions are made for us to become better people. You know, we say, "I want my finances to be here by the end of the year," or "I want to lose this much weight in 2017, or "I want my marriage to be this healthy," or there may be people say, "Forget that, I want to be married this year." Students may be saying, I want by semester's end my grades to be at this level, or we just say as people, I want to arrive at this place in my life by year's end. Ah, new goals, new year, new beginning. We're launching a series today called Happy New You. Because we all want to see God do something new in our lives this year. Every single person in this room wants to see God do something new in your life this year that would define a new you. All of us have that desire for us. And what better time to begin than a new year? New years equal new beginnings. Biblically, that's been the case. New years have always meant new beginnings. New opportunities to seize a year and make it great for the glory of God. But no matter what your goal is, no matter what your resolution may be in your heart right now, let me go back to the paralyzed man on the mat when I say that your goals and your resolutions and your dreams and your destiny all must come from a place of faith. All must be surrounded by a place of support, and all must be driven there on the vehicle of a plan. Or hear me, it will not happen. I don't care how big the goal is or how small the goal is, it won't happen. We must in the church today know and understand the importance of faith, support, and a plan when it comes to our goals, resolutions, and desires. Number one, I want to talk about this for just a moment. Faith. Faith, faith. Believing that God can impact my abilities. Beyond my abilities. Notice in the scripture we just read that Jesus didn't take the man on the mat by the hand and pick him up. You would think that he would have the common courtesy to at least say, let me help you up, right? He didn't take him by the hand. What did he do? Spoke to him and said, get up. If I'm the paralyzed guy, I'm like, I don't know if you can see what it is I've got going on here, but I haven't moved a muscle ever, you know, or whatever, if it was an accident or whatever, and however long it's been, I've not been able to move. I'm paralyzed. I've seen you touch other people. I've seen you do this and that, and now you're just telling me to do something. He just said, get up. What happened here? He got up. But what did he have to do before he did that? He had to believe and act on what God was telling him he could do in spite of his present condition. Let me say that again. He had to believe and act on what God was telling him to do in spite of his present condition. I believe that's what holds many people back from reaching a goal, from accomplishing a dream, from seeing a resolution fulfilled, from reaching their destiny, is that they don't believe they have the abilities to get there, even in spite of what God says. And let me tell you this, we've got to believe. Let me quote, I think it was Muhammad Ali that said, if you believe, you can achieve. You've got to understand the power of the heart and the mind when it comes to what we believe. The man had to believe that he had the ability to get up in spite of his present condition. What is faith but that right there? Right? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the, and I love this description, evidence. Everybody say evidence. Evidence of things not seen. Everybody say not. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Meaning, I can't see it, but it's there. Why? Because he said it is. Think about that just for a moment. It's there. Go. It's there. Do it. Even though I look around and there's not one piece of physical, this is the blind guy, or this is the paralyzed guy, or this is the lame guy. Like no matter what the miracle was, Jesus spoke into something that nobody else saw with their eyes. And Jesus is saying, get up. And there's no evidence that this could possibly happen, but he had to act on what he believed and took the step in what happened. It says immediately he got up in front of everybody there. How cool would it have been? See that right there. Wow, man. That blows me away right there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Meaning I can't see it presently, but I can't see it presently available to me in the moment, but if I act on his word and take the step in the direction he's calling me to go, it will be there. It will be there. If Jesus is if you're at the edge of a cliff and Jesus is saying, go that way, you don't see anywhere where your feet could lay. How many know? What do? You take a step in the direction he's calling you to go. If you're stepping out on air, let me tell you something. When your feet hit the ground, there will be something for you to stand on. Just ask Peter, who was walking on water. Now listen, don't go and do that. Amen. Unless God tells you, and even if he does, come and talk to me first. We'll comb through the scenario of faith you are wanting to take in your life. What am I trying to say? Go in the direction he's calling you to go, even if you don't see evidence to get there. When it comes to your goals, when it comes to your resolutions, when it comes to your dreams and your desires, let me tell you this right now, make sure they line up with his word. Because it's his word where you find the provision and the path for you to walk on, not anything else. It is his word where you will find that, and believe that God has given you the ability to go there. If you believe, you will achieve. Faith is what got him there. But not faith and faith alone. Number two, we see this word right here. Support. Evidentially displayed by the team that he had around his life in this portion of Scripture. He wasn't alone. He had look who he had around his life. He had a group of friends that supported his faith. He had a group of friends that would get underneath his faith and go, let's go. He had a group of friends that said, let's get to your goal. He had a group of friends that said, let me help you get to your desire to be healed. He didn't have people that took him away from Jesus. He had people that got him closer to Jesus, no matter what it took. How many are seeing the importance of support here? I've told this story here before. This is my little buddy. His name is Tiger. Please bear with me as I repeat this story I told about a year and a half ago for the sake of the point that I want to make here today. Tiger is our cat. He's an outside cat. Not an inside cat. This is a mouse-catching machine, man. This is a bird-catching machine. This cat will go to the ends of the earth just to show us the spoils of his hunt and bring it right to our doorstep. It's awesome seeing half-eaten mouse heads at your doorstep. Amen. Much rather see that than see them in my house. All right. And I over the years, I have grown a friendship with this guy. Right? He and I are buddies, and I started to like him so much, I told Miss, well, what if he just came in? She said, absolutely not. The cat will not be in the house. He's an outside cat, meant to be outside. I said, well, what if we made him an inside cat? And she's like, absolutely not. I will not have hair on my couch. I will not have all the wonderful gifts he will leave us on the floor. Just ain't going to happen. And so we started having these arguments, and I just wouldn't give up, man. I mean, it went maybe a month. Every day, why can't he come in the, I mean, he's my buddy. Just the way he looked at us in the window, you know. I'd even try and set it up like the Humane Society commercials. Play the Sarah McLaughlin song while the cat's looking in the door. In the arms of, and I'm like, look at him, he's his dad, you know. Nothing shook her, but she eventually, after a month, said, all right, go ahead, it's your way. That's how you got to win an argument. You just don't stop, amen. You stay persistent in the course that God's calling you to go. And so, but I got him to come in because it was really cold one night, and we have a garage, and, you know, it's closed off, and we had a little bed, but I was like, he just needs love, you know. And I remember he came in, and I was like, come here, Tiger, and I'm getting him already on the bed. I'm like, come here, sleep with us. You know, I'm all excited. I hope I still got my man card with some of you guys right now, but that's just what I was. I was excited. And it was about 2 in the morning. He was sleeping by the window by our bed that we were awoken by the smell of a beautiful aroma that he had left in the bedroom. And it wasn't one of those, it was punch you in the face. Oh, what is that? Because it wasn't solid at all. It was very loose. And I'm trying to be as general as possible so that you would avoid the specifics from which we found ourselves in great burden of that night. And I remember Missy just looking at me. At 2 in the morning. It's hard to clean that up out of a carpet, let alone 2 in the morning when you're half tired coming out of a dream, you know? And she's just like, I told you. She had like a demon voice in her, Missy, you know? It's just like, whoa. And I remember I just, all right, we're done. All right, I'll get him out, and it was a horrible night of cleaning. And I'm telling him, like, you screwed up, man. You did this. I fought for you, man, and this is what you do. You threw him out of the thing, and he just ticked off. Goes back, those Sarah McLaughlin arms of an angel, because I started liking him again. You know, like, come on, man, let him back in. He won't do it again. I mean, I beat him senseless. He's not going to do it again, I promise. A year later, she let him back in. And it wasn't but 3 minutes during the day. He went right into the middle of my office and dropped one right there on the carpet. Right in the middle of the office, and I go in, I'm like, Tiger! And he's just looking at me like, what? You know, like, this is what I do. The world is my toilet, you know? I'm not trained. And she's like, never again. And he hasn't been in the house ever since. This is him outside of our house right now. He's an outside cat. But I remember just fighting for him to stay in. Let me ask you a question. Who are you fighting for that is stinking up your life? Who are you fighting for that does nothing but come and make messes in your life? You see, because I see people of God, I see believers that sit at the starting block of a new year with goals in their heart and faith in their heart to climb that mountain and get there. I see them with faith, but what I often don't see is that they have the support system around that dream. They don't have the support system around that goal. They got a lot of tigers. They got a lot of people that come in and make messes. They got people that don't help them get to Jesus. In fact, they do quite the opposite. They get them back in their old ways and the old past and the old things, and they pull them away from the goals, resolutions, and desires that only God can make happen. Support is so important. Who are you fighting for to stay in your life that just does nothing but stink up your life? Who is it? Drop them. Do what we did with our buddy here. You got to stay in the outside because you don't do good on the inside. Some of these, I mean, I've seen spouses fight over this. I've seen kids fight, parents fight with kids over this. I've seen singles fight, you know, just to see people fight for. Like, I fought for Tiger. I fought for him. What did he do? Nothing good for me. Right? He was meant to be on the outside. Why do we fight for people that do nothing but good for our lives when we let them in? Let me say it this way. You can't get to the dream without a dream team. And some of you have a nightmare team around your life. People who are not concerned one bit with the progress of your life. People that have not one ounce of faith in their heart to sit next to you to see your God-given goals met. You see, I'm not just throwing this on you. I have this problem as well in my life. Because how many know that there's a lot of haters out there? There's a lot of naysayers and doubters and critics out there. And some of them can come from those that are closest to us. Be careful who you let in on your dream. Be careful who you let in on your goals. Be careful who you let in on your desires. Because they don't, if they don't have the eyes of faith and support to get you there, they're going to take you away from it. A major question that I am asking myself right now in my life currently with the dreams, goals, resolutions, and desires that I have for this year, who needs to go so I can go? Because I can't have people holding me back from getting to Jesus. Come on, somebody, say a good amen. Imagine if the man on the mat's friend said, it can't be done. Just imagine. No. I need people who are willing to stand with me, even when I can't stand. I need people who are willing to tear a hole in the roof and get me into the middle of the room just to see my life's goals, dreams, desires, and resolutions met. If it so requires, come on, somebody say a good amen. We need a support team around our dreams to get there. I need people that are willing to do whatever is needed to stand with my life. People who will love me. People who will love me, accept me, but love me enough to tell me the truth even when I don't want to hear it. Do we got people like that around your life that love you enough to tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it? Because how many know truth isn't something that we just celebrate all the time? Sometimes you just want to punch truth back. But people that love you enough to tell you the truth. People who will stand with you and pray with you. People who love God's word with you. People who will carry you, take you, and push you to the goal God has set in your heart. Before you do this year, before you do, ask who. Who needs to stay and who needs to go. Come on, somebody, that's good preaching right there. Amen. Faith, support, and a plan. They created a plan to get to Jesus in the scripture. I call it, like I said, the roof route. This was abnormal because this had never been done before, taking a paralyzed man into a house through the roof. How many know something like that requires a plan? Something like that requires discussion, and you may not see that plan in discussion in Scripture because the Scripture is just in context, a summary, a synopsis of what happened. It doesn't show all the details that went inside of it. Before the decision was made to go up on the roof, there was certainly discussion to get there. What do we got to do? Who owns a ladder? Where is that ladder? Can that ladder hold us? How do we get you there? Do we need rope? What do we need? What route? What do we do once we get there? How do we happen? How do we tear a hole in the roof? How do we lower you? What are we going to lower you with? All that type of stuff. Who's going to hold? Who's going to be on what position? Who's going to be on what end? How are we going to make this happen? What is the plan to get there? This miracle, friends, the man on the mat didn't just get there through the bridge of faith or support, but it required a plan. This required steps. This required strategy. This required discussion. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent, Scripture says, lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The what of the diligent? The plans. Think of the importance of a plan. Let me say this. The future belongs to the one who plans for it. If you don't have a plan, you're merely a drifting dreamer on the seas of life. You have no sails to your boat to take you in the direction of your desires. But the one with a plan is the one who is determined to get there regardless.
Come on, somebody. Don't be a person of alterable conclusions. And what I mean when I say that is when life throws you a storm, when life throws you adversity, when life throws you challenge that end up wedging itself in between you and your desire. Don't be a person of alterable conclusions who will just sit down and say, oh, well, I guess it was just, and I hate these words, never meant to be. I guess I am what I am. I guess what will be, will be. Don't be somebody who will just give up and accept what is. Don't say, oh, well, I guess I was just meant to be broke. Don't say, oh, well, I guess I was just meant to be sick. Don't say, oh, well, I guess I was just meant to be alone. Maybe this business wasn't meant to ever happen. Bottom line, you have to choose your destiny, because your destiny will not just happen for you. You have to own it by owning every single step that leads up to it. Faith, support, and a plan. And that's why you get a plan together. Because what a plan does is it keeps you accountable to the desire inside of you. Because there's going to be times where you're going to want to give up. And a plan keeps you accountable. Because a plan plans for those give up times. What do you do? Where do you go? How do you react? I love this map. Because to me it completely illustrates what a drifting dreamer looks like. This right here is a map of Israel in the wilderness. You know, this is after the great Exodus. Israel had been in slavery for how many years? 400 years. That's a long time to be in slavery. Moses, with a dream in his heart, let my people go, right? Split the Red Sea, or 10 plagues, split the Red Sea. And here they find themselves right over here. Right out here outside Goshen in Lower Egypt. And they find themselves set free and with a vision and a dream. And what is that vision and dream? The promised land, right? And what is the promised land? The promised land is what we know today as Israel. The land God spoke to Israel to have. This is why you see all of this dissension right now in politics with President Obama's approval of the UN, because what you got is Palestine that's trying to occupy the West Bank, and they're approving that Israel can't go in and occupy, and people that stand with Israel, no, this is the land that God spoke to them to have, and we support and stand with Israel in that. But this is the land that God told them about. And what does Moses do? He sends 10 spies from here, right here, from Migdol, to go look. 10 spies. And they go and look, and then they come back and they say, it's beautiful. Nothing I've ever seen like it. It's a land that flows, they said, with milk and honey. Never seen anything like it. It's beautiful. But one problem. There are giants that possess that land. These people are huge. These people are tall. These people are strong. Scriptures say that they say, matter of fact, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. It's beautiful, but it just can't happen. Except for two of the spies. You know their names? Joshua and Caleb, who say, we saw what they saw, but we know they're giants, we know they're big, but we got to remember that God spoke to us and said, this is the land I will give you. Go in and possess it. And if he said it, it will be done. Amen. I mean, no, do you got a Joshua or Caleb around your life? Or we don't even know that. Can you name one of the other spies that said no? Nobody will ever remember the naysayers or the doubters. You'll always remember the person that encouraged you. But what did Moses do? Sides with the majority. Nope. And what happens? There's no plan. So how do we get there? You know how long it should have taken them to get from here to here? 11 to 14 days. How long did it take them to get there? drifting dreamer. Let's stop over here, doubt and fret. Over here, complain about manna. Just 40 years, just drifting without a plan. We know they're big. We know they're gigantic. We know you're like grasshoppers in their sight, but what is the plan to accomplish this? There wasn't a plan. Moses never put a plan to it. And you see him just drifting, wondering how. That if they'd have dropped to their knees and got a plan from God, Moses passes away 40 years later, as you know, and who takes over? Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 is a great chapter in the Bible to read. Because this is after Moses has died, and this is the beginning of Joshua's leadership. And God speaks to Joshua these words. It's very, very interesting. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, forget the past. What's in the past is in the past. Bury it. He said, bury him and move on. Let me ask you this. What's in your past that needs to be buried so you can go to where God's calling you to go? But I love this. I'm getting off the subject here. This is where I want to get to. God said to Joshua two words in chapter 1. Get ready. Get ready. I think we overlook those words. What does get ready mean? That means get prepared. Get yourself to a point where you are equipped to understand what it is that I'm telling you to do. Get ready. And in the following verses, what you see God speaking and what you see Joshua doing are details. A lot of people call those the boring parts of the Bible, where it just starts talking about city points and it starts talking about routes and decisions, finances and economy and all that type of stuff. And people, they overlook that. But can I tell you, that right there is the power. That right there was the skeletal frame that God was building to be able to wrap the flesh of this vision around their lives. God was getting them a plan. Joshua was preparing a plan. Joshua was saying, these people, this is where we're going to go, this is how we're going to get there. This is how we are going to accomplish this dream. There was a plan. Get ready. And what happened? They got there with a plan and established a dream that was centuries old. I want to share an important study recently done, and it was a study done on the power of planning. And it said this, it says that listen to this, 27% of Americans give no thought toward their future. In other words, they're just drifters. They're people that just count the days. They don't see past the night that they're getting ready to lay their head down. They just give no thought toward their future. 60% of Americans give what they call some thought toward their future, but mostly in the area of finances, like planning for a vacation, etc. 60% of Americans give some thought toward their future, with only 10% of Americans claiming to give serious thought toward their future, and only 3% give such serious thought toward their future that they actually have written out a plan and written out goals to get there. 27% no thought, 60% some thought, 10% serious thought, 3% so serious they write out the goals and plans to get there. Now, here's where it gets interesting, in my opinion, in this study, because they went back and studied these four groups. And what they found was almost all the people in the first group that give no thought to their future, around 97% of them claim to be categorically and economically on welfare. Most of the second group, 60%, who claim to give some thought to their future, expressed that they were financially barely making it. I call that mustache ministries, where you are just, you can barely breathe. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just, right? All of the 10% in the third group who have given and give serious thought toward their future are what we call successful people in our culture in the context of life, happiness, and income. And the fourth group, the 3% who have written down plans and goals, were categorically placed in what we call our nation's top achievers. And either, as a matter of fact, they were so successful that they were out-achieving the group just below them 10 to 1.
And that astounded the producers of this study to a point that they dug in even deeper to the last two groups, the 10% and the 3%. And they found, I mean, they were digging into every amount of data they could to try and decipher to find the outlier. What is it that is making these guys the top achievers versus just the successful? And they found that there was no difference. There was no difference. There was no difference between the successful and the top achievers in the realm of education level and talent. The only difference between the two was that the 3% had written out a life plan and had written down measurable life goals. The only difference. Let me say it this way, Journey Church. A plan is so important to your goal, to your dream, to your destiny. When we started this church, God put a big vision in our hearts, man. Whoa. It was like, man, I feel like the Atlas. Just carrying something on my shoulders. How is this going to happen? You know what I'm saying? It required faith, man, to even believe that it could happen. To create a local to start a church at the level God was wanting us to start it and what he wanted us to do. Man, I had to believe it, man. It was hard to believe. It took faith to believe that God could do this, because I'm not a church planner. I'm not a pastor. In my head at the time, I'm in Bible college. I had to close my eyes and believe that God could do that through my life. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, meaning I can't see it with my eyes, but I can see it when I pray. Does that make sense? I remember working deck construction in Ohio when I was in Bible college, and I would take bathroom breaks, except I wouldn't go to the bathroom. It was a single bathroom, and you could lock the door. And I remember going in there, locking the door, and I would go to the sink. Had a mirror. I'd look at myself and be like, you are a pastor. And I said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'd close my eyes and I saw you before I ever saw you. I'd preach to you in a bathroom, in a warehouse. The sink was my pulpit. I walked up to the sink and I'd go, so glad to have you here today. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to talk today about faith. And I'd pace that bathroom. I'd have altar calls. People responded. I mean, they're dead serious. And people are knocking, what are you doing in there? You know, like, man, this guy's got some digestive problems. But I had to believe. I had to feed my believer, man. I had to see it when I couldn't see it. I had to have support. I had to have people around my life, man, that would help get me here, even when I found myself in seasons and challenges where I feel like I couldn't stand or take a step. But I had to have a plan, because God put this big vision in our hearts and we didn't know how to accomplish it. So I started to put a plan together in March of 2009. I knew that God wanted to do three things in my life. He wanted to start a church. He wanted to do an outreach ministry from our church that was bigger than the church. And he wanted to do a missions global impact ministry that would impact the continent of Africa. I knew those three things. That was the vision. That was the desire in my heart. But how do I get there? I believed it. I had support for it, but I didn't have a plan. So I started to pray, and God started to give me strategy in my prayer times. That it would take 5 years to build the church, to even to a point where we could own property. So that was our goal. I had a plan, a 5-year plan, and it took, we were 6 months behind schedule because it was June 2014. Actually, we turned 5 when we signed a contract for this property. That blew me away, actually, just thinking about that. Because we started in June 2009.
5-year plan. Now, we didn't move in, obviously, as you know, in June of 2014. But it took us some time. And then a dream center would be 10 years. So by 2019, it's been my plan and under the direction of God to see a dream center begin. And it seems like we're beginning a little ahead of schedule, which how many know we've got our plans, but sometimes God will come and bring strategy to help even get it in his timing. But we're going to be wanting to open up in September the men's discipleship home, where at the start, we'll have 6 guys come and live back there for a 12 to 14 month residential recovery program. And it's going to be a powerful thing. How many believe that with me? Amen. However, it's going to take a plan to make that happen. And I'm in prayer. I'm meeting with a lawyer right now in our community that is helping us get everything going. I've been in talks with Daryl Strawberry, who wants to come and help us accomplish this. I'm meeting with people to help make this happen and create a plan and goals. Reagan and myself and Moria, we're getting together and creating. What is the agenda? I mean, what is the plan? We got to get ready. What did God tell Moses? Joshua, get ready. And I believe that we're going to see God make that happen, because if we believe it, we've got support and we've got a plan. And then there's a missions ministry. Now, what we have, we say, well, we got one. No, that's not ours. We support it completely, but that's not ours. That's Georgette DeJonia, who's an amazing person. That's her vision. The Providence is hers. It just so happened that we teamed with her in that, and we support that, and those 16 kids get support solely from this church. It's phenomenal. God has put in my wife and I's heart. We never knew it was Burundi, but God opened the door for it to be Burundi. And God's given us a vision. God's given us a plan to have a church there within 15 years of 2009, which takes us to the year 2024, where by 2024, we want to have a Journey Church in Bujumbura, Burundi, Africa. And Journey Church Africa will have its own property that will have in it its own orphanage. It won't be one big building. We see all kinds of homes, where home families will each have a home family host parent, where it's kept small and personal. We'll have a school on the property. We'll have outreach, humanitarian, food and clothing distribution centers on this property. We see it, but it's going to take a plan to get there. And not to mention all the other things that we have plans here for Journey Church and the Troy Dream Center and our missions area. It all comes with a plan. And as you know, and I want to ask Tim if he would to come. You know, we were at the place. I closed the office this past week, and I kind of asked the staff, just rest. You have a hardworking staff. I want to tell you that right now. Your staff works so hard for the ministries and for the families of this church. And they don't get much time off, and I told them, take this week off. We kind of do it every year, and just rest, reflect, refresh. And I was sitting there in that week, and I just started going through old photos. You know, you get Facebook or what's called Time Hop or something on your phone. You can just look back at things. And I started looking back at old emails that I sent this year. And then I started even going further back than that. I'm like in 2014 and then 13. I'm reading emails from 2009. I'm reading emails from 2008 about plans for Journey Church. January of 2010, I had written down plans for a women's ministry, and the women's ministry would host an event like Pursuit, it said. Just seeing plans and discussion, and I had plans for the Dream Center starting to kick off. Things I had written down years ago that have kept us on the course. It's a plan, friends. What got the man on the mat to his miracle? But faith, support, and a plan. Somebody say a good amen. So on that end note, when you came in today, you got these sheets. And I want you, if you would, just to grab one of these card stock, pieces that say your plan. And this is what I want you to do right here in this moment. And our ushers have pens. If you need a pen, raise your hand, and an usher will come and get you a pen, but I need you to get a pen or a pencil out in this moment, because I want to ask you to take part of that. We got some hands up here. Just put your hands up. It's okay. You're not asking. And you keep the pen. Amen. Don't worry about it. How many know pens are like socks? They just never come back. Amen. It's just, so keep the pen. Be happier knowing it was in your hands than wherever these pens end up winding up. What is your plan? What is your dream? What is your goal? What is your resolution? To answer that question, I want you to flip to the back of this card, and I'm going to show you the back of this card on this screen. Back of your card looks just like this. What I want you to do with your pen, if you could, I'm going to give you an example of what mine looks like. I want you to write your name on the top part right here, the top part of the card. I want you to write your name and today's date, January 1st, 2017. You're going to be tempted to write 16. Amen. The first time you wrote it, perhaps. But I want you to write what your dream is. It says the word plan there, but I want you to write what your plan, what is your goal, what is your dream. In other words, when I tell you that, throughout this message, certainly some things have been buoying to the surface of your mind. Some of you have thought, man, this is my dream for this year. This is my goal for this year. This is my resolution for this year. Again, it may be weight loss, and it may be a certain amount, and that may be your plan. You write in, I need to lose 50 pounds, or even me like me, I need to lose, you know, pound maybe, amen. You know, no, just whatever it is, a pound or 70, amen. Whatever it is, just write that, whatever your dream is, whatever your goal is, whatever your resolution, maybe it's to start a business again, maybe it's to be engaged, maybe it's to meet somebody of faith, single people. Well, I could preach on that support system right there on that note. If they don't love God, don't date them. What is your dream? What is your goal? Write that right there. Like mine. I want to open up our men's discipleship. I mean, I know this just isn't my dream. It's the dream of many people as well. That's just the big thing brewing in my heart this year. Now, after you've done that, I'll give you just a moment. I'll give you just a moment. I don't want to rush you in that. I don't want to rush you, but I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Amen. Just write it down. I'm going to take a drink of water real quick. All right. Felt like 30 seconds. Amen. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take the top half of it. We've perforated it. I want you to take it and rip it off. Now, I want you to take this piece at the end of this service, which is here in just a moment. We've got Josh and Caleb and Brian. They're all there in the back. Brian and Josh, raise your baskets up. They're right there. And we want you to take this right here and place it in that basket on your way out the door. Now, we're not going to take this card and plaster it on our Facebook page. We're not going to show it on the screen next week. It will be confidentially placed in our offices for myself and our staff team. Hear me now. Every single day to pray alongside this need, this goal, this resolution you've written down. Every single day, I commit myself and my family as your pastor. It's an honor to stand with you. Because, and this is, I think this is pretty unique and creative here, because though it may be your plan as your family, we also believe it's our plan too. And we want to stand with you. Your plan is our plan. Your goals are our goals. Your dreams are our dreams. And we want to pray and stand with you in it. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to drop the Y into the basket. And we're going to see this part right here go home with you. Now, what you're going to do with this right here is on the next, this is kind of what a sample is going to look like. You're going to write that same dream right there. God's plan, his plan for the men's discipleship home is what? Right? What is God's plan and strategy for you to accomplish that resolution, to meet that goal, to see that resolution fulfilled? What is his plan for you to do that? And so if it's to lose 20 pounds, his plan for 20 pounds is to, and then spend some time. Don't write this down, but this is what the summary of what you need to be writing down. Allow God to speak that strategy right here. It may be quit eating Snickers
and Twinkies and Ding Dongs and ice cream and McDonald's. Some of you got to break up with McDonald's this year. It's been a good ride, a good relationship. You guys are done. Amen. Me and McDonald's have had an on and off relationship for the last 38 years. Amen. And I'm going to have to break up with them. Amen. But what that plan is, let God speak to you that plan. But listen, spend time, and I don't expect you to do that here in this room, but over the course of the next day or two or three or the coming weeks, spend some quiet time and allow God to give you the strategy, your Joshua 1 moment, get ready. What do you got to do to get ready to get to that plan? And with our faith and support with you and your plan that God speaks to you, 2017 is going to be a powerful year. Somebody say a good amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet. I want to ask our communion teams and our prayer teams, if they would, to make their way. How many are ready to see a plan? How many are ready to see a dream fulfilled? How many are ready to see a resolution met? How many are ready to see it not just be a desire, but for your desire to become your destiny? Amen. How many know there's a difference between just believing and planning? You got to do both. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this room, for